You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Miami Marlins with MLB.com's Marlins beat reporter, Joe Fusaro. Joe, for a season without a lot of wins, you have certainly had an interesting year. There continue to be developments with Dan Jennings. It continues to be not entirely clear, but it sounds like the most likely outcome is that he'll be the general manager of the Marlins next year. Is that accurate? And if it is most likely, how likely do you think it is?
Oh, Matthew, there's so many things in play. Nothing is etched in stone. I wouldn't be surprised if indeed he returns as general manager or whatever roles are defined, however they define them in the front office, or if he exits to pursue opportunities elsewhere. And there are some places he has connections to that there are openings right now. I think, you know, the Marlins will be at New York next week to face the Mets. Rumblings are DJ will meet there with Jeffrey Loria once again, and I think we might have a clearer picture what to possibly expect will happen in the next couple of weeks. But you know, nothing is etched in stone. There's already been internal changes. They just hired Mark Del Piano to oversee their minor league operations. They reassigned Marty Scott and Craig Weissman. They've been reassigned, and I think there are some other moves that are going to be made. But the team is performing pretty well right now in the last week or so. They're, you know, showing some life. They're kind of resembling a little bit, even though they don't have Stanton in the lineup. The lineup's kind of functioning the way they kind of hoped it would. So, you know, there are some encouraging signs here. I know Dan Jennings is very loyal. He would, you know, like to see this through. But if in any way, I think he feels his powers would be diminished in a GM role, then there's a possibility he will say, let me see what's out there. In the past, when such opportunities came, the Marlins always denied permission. I wouldn't be surprised if they granted it this year, but I think we'll have some more clarity probably by the middle of next week.
I realize it's hard to say, and it's a tough position for him because he is, you know, still trying to manage a ball club. But what do you get? What impression do you get are the factors that he's weighing? What is it that he wants to see? What is it that intrigues him about other options? To the extent that you know, and again, acknowledging that nobody's going to have full information on this except Dan Jennings, and even he may not, because managing a ball club is a consuming job. What do you get the feeling is that he wants to see happen before he decides what he wants?
Well, probably first and foremost is what kind of GM he would be. Is it more of a figurehead? Is it one of diminished powers? Are they going to carve up the front office, giving other people you know, a little bit more responsibility? So from my understanding, he would be over, you know, the scouting and you know, a lot of player development. But if he's not going to have a final say, let's say, if they say we're pursuing this free agent or pursuing this trade, and, you know, I think that could be an issue. I think there could be an issue of how the front office gets along. You know, if there's divide, which this organization has had in the past, a divided front office with people, you know, splitting up into different factions. And if that's the case, that may drive him away. But I think, you know, DJ has his hands on a lot of what's on the field right now. And he's, you know, developing a different type of bond being the manager of these players, that in his perfect scenario, he stays here and sees it through. And, you know, is he going to have say in the new manager? Is that going to be a Jeffrey Loria call? Is that going to be a call of some other people? You know, so there's a lot of unanswered questions, you know, still with how this is all going to shake down. But again, I think, you know, once they meet, if that meeting goes well, if Jeffrey, who DJ's always been a very, you know, loyal guy to Jeffrey, they've always had a very tight bond. Those reports that, you know, that relationship has strained are accurate from everything I'm hearing. But I also hear that it's not anything that probably can't mend itself once they sit back and realize what's going on. So, again, it's going to be fascinating to see how it shakes out. But, you know, do they kind of stay the course saying, yes, bad year, let's kind of move this forward with pretty much the same people. Let's all get in the room and agree to get on the same page and move forward. Or is it going to be like we're seeing in other places around the league, just, you know, new voice, cut ties and move on?
In on-field news, it appears that Jose Fernandez is very close to returning. How much do they want to see from him? Is there any chance he just kind of gets one start to show he can do it and then wraps it up again? Or does he make a few? How do they kind of handle him?
Yeah, he's all systems go. He is going to come off the DL and start Saturday against the Nationals in Miami. So, you know, it's going to be very, you know, welcome return, obviously, to have a Jose Fernandez back. I think in the perfect world, three starts. And the curious thing, Matthew, is how they're going to use him. I mean, they haven't said yet pitch count totals or whatever. Part of me says treat it like spring training. If you get three innings out of him on Saturday and four innings out of him next week and five innings, let's say, the week after, then you shut it down and you have a little bit of peace of mind. I'm not sure they're going to go that way. He threw a 75-pitch bullpen and sim game, so he's kind of built up for that. But, you know, as well as I, once a sim game's a little different than pitching at a stretch, in a jam against, you know, Bryce Harper. So that creates a more stressful inning for him. So I think we're going to see a more modified Jose in terms of how much we see him on the mound, but if they could treat it that way and get some peace of mind that he's healthy, throwing well, you know, then let's take it into the off season and see how Jose comes back in spring training.
Excuse me, guy I've been wondering about. I've actually had on my list for weeks, and we just haven't gotten to. I'm really intrigued by JT Realmuto because he's done some impressive things. He obviously had the two home runs the other day. But overall, the numbers aren't great. But then again, he probably was up before they would have wanted to have him up. First of all, how do they kind of view this season? Do they view this as a successful season for him, or how do they kind of view what they got from him in 2015?
Oh, absolutely successful. I mean, yeah, you're right. You know, here was a guy, I mean, they came into the year with Salty Lamacchia and Mathis and felt they would be it. And if Salty faltered, they didn't expect it to be the first month. But, you know, they didn't like at all what they saw from him, and they cut ties, you know, after 20-something games. And next thing you know, JT's in the big leagues and, you know, starting. And, you know, he has some things mechanically in his swing they'd like to iron out. But Matthew, everything, I was just talking to a scout the other day, an American League scout who saw him, and he goes, this kid's the real deal. He's a average, you know, he's an everyday, you know, average to plus average, you know, player. A guy who draws comps to, in the eyes of some people in the industry, are Travis d'Arnaud in New York. So, you know, you have two, you know, really bright young catchers here in the National League East. Will he be an all-star? Maybe on his best year he could be that way. But he's an interesting kid, Matthew. He's, you know, homegrown. He is a draft pick, like a third rounder. I think it's 11, but it's right in that range. And he's a converted shortstop in high school. He was a standout quarterback, could have played at Oklahoma State or any number of other Division I schools. So he's not your typical catcher. He's an athlete who kind of has that catcher build that, you know, they put behind the plate. And as you saw the other day, you don't see too many catchers with inside the park home runs. Now, the way the ball acted Karam the other day, the slower guys would do that. But JT has very, very good speed for any position, let alone catcher, very athletic, and a real good work ethic, and, you know, a very, very bright future. You know, he is going to be a cornerstone. Now, the overall numbers, you're going to, you know, part of that's going to also be, you know, just the learning curve of going through a tough grind. And I think we've talked about this before. This season, there have been some really rough stretches where kind of the whole morale of everyone on the team was down. And a lot of times you see in rough games, you know, players go collectively in slumps because there's, you know, the lineup just isn't functioning and you kind of get caught up in that too. But for him to end on a high note will be really encouraging. He has, over 40 RBIs. He has a chance to hit 10 or more home runs. I think in his best days, he's going to be about a 15 home run guy, but a leader. You know, they really like his ability to take charge. So I think next year, I think you'll see his voice a little bit more, and I think he has a presence. And you're right. He's one of the players, if you're a Marlins fan, you're very excited about to see what 16 brings. But, you know, a home run over the wall, around the trip, around the bases on the ball that doesn't clear the fence is an exciting type player and pretty good defensively as well.
All right. Well, Joe Fusaro, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.